This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. One of the top teams in the tournament, the number one seed, Alabama. Their play-by-play radio voice, Chris Stewart, joins us on the Progressive guest line to talk about the Crimson Tide and their run to the NCAA tournament. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I just want to say on a personal note, Chris, I am very glad you are back. I know you had the health problems and the faith that you have and your family. I just want to say from a radio guy to radio guy, we are very blessed that you're still with us and still doing what you do.
Well, you're really kind to say it. I'm the one that's blessed, and it's been quite a ride the last 5 years, and I'm very fortunate that I'm still here, period, but especially that I get a chance to experience what I'm experiencing now. But it's very nice of you to say that. Thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I want to ask you a big picture first out of this. And over the years that with the SEC, we've had good basketball teams from this conference before. Florida won a national championship, Nolan Richardson at Arkansas, Mississippi State, all these teams that have had moments in the sun. And of course, there's the outlier in Kentucky. But over the last decade or so, what have you seen in this conference where they've really put an emphasis on basketball and the quality of basketball all the way down?
Yeah, the growth of the SEC network and the money that's come in there has allowed them to spend money on other sports, and men's basketball is one where I think it started, which has allowed them to put, with the success of the men's basketball programs, put it back into overall athletics as well. It has been a very good ROI. To spend what they have on men's basketball, and it has produced what we're seeing now. You know, the eight teams that got in the field, 0-1 at the moment. That was a tough ball game for Mississippi State to drop last night, but it's a really, really tough league, night in, night out. There are a lot of them out there, but it's really nice to see the Southeastern Conference be among the elites, and at least in that conversation once again. And it makes, frankly, what Alabama did this year all the more meaningful because of that.
For people who don't see Alabama on a night-in and night-out basis, and this tournament may be one of the first experiences that they have, they may have heard of Brandon Miller, but who are the other guys? This is not just a one-man show. Who are the other guys on this Crimson Tide team?
Well, look, I'll give you this. It is the reason this team is in the position that they are is you're foolish not to start with Brandon Miller because of who he is and the success that he's had. But you can go about 10 minutes, as I've done many times, and not even mention a guy like Noah Clowney, who's probably going to be the second player off this roster to get his name called in the NBA draft, whether it's this year or in a lottery next year. I mean, that's how good he is. But all through this roster, all 11 guys that are on scholarship have seen meaningful minutes in the last week. All have been a part of championships either, you know, prior to this year, whether it was at Alabama or somewhere else at the highest level in high school or at another college somewhere. I'll give you a prime example. Dom Welch probably has as few minutes as anybody as of late. He's a Buffalo native who was an all-conference player at St. Bonaventure the last 3 years, star in his team, and was a starter in Alabama's exhibition game to start the year, but suffered an injury, was out about 6 weeks, kind of got behind the eight ball, has had some moments. He's had a couple of games where he's hit big threes at key stretches in games that have kind of helped turn the corner or keep him in a ball game. And I still think that he's going to hit a big shot somewhere that's going to mean a ton to this year's squad as we go forward. But he doesn't get a ton of minutes. And he's an all-conference player, one of the best guys in the A-10. The other day, I don't think Namari Burnett saw the floor in the championship game. May not have gotten in more than 5 minutes. I don't remember. A lot of that game was a blur. Mm-hmm. But Namari started a good bit of the year before he had injuries himself. He's a key piece of the puzzle. He's a former McDonald's All-American. He's one of four on the roster. So I've just mentioned the two guys that are maybe 10th and 11th in minutes in the last week for this roster, and yet that's who they are. That everywhere you go, I mean, whether it's Clowney, Charles Bediako, the seven-footer, Javon Quinterly, former McDonald's All-American, Noah Gurley, who's in his second year at Alabama but played 3 years at Furman and was an all-conference player there, their best player. It is a really deep, talented roster. And by the way, in doing all that I've just done, I've left off at least one starter, maybe two, from the team. So that's why they're who they are. I can read the roster to you, but it's so deep, so talented, and they're so unselfish and play their roles so well. That's why they're in the position they're in.
How did Nate Oates build this? What was he facing when he arrived in Tuscaloosa, and how has he got to a point where he's built it to where it is now?
He'll be the first to tell you. He didn't inherit a bare cupboard. You know, Avery Johnson had recruited a very good roster, but it needed some new life. It needed something different. Avery understood that. The administration knew that, and that's why it was an amicable parting of the two sides. And I was texting Avery last night. It was great to see him on the NCAA tournament coverage for CBS. I did a lot of TV shows and radio shows with him. Love the guy, and a lot of respect for him as a person and also what he did in his time at Alabama to make it a better situation than the one he inherited. But he left Herb Jones, John Petty, Alex Reese, three key pieces to what was that SEC championship squad 2 years ago at Alabama, or 3 years ago, I guess, technically now, counting this as the third season. So Nate took some good pieces, added to it, made it better, put his stamp, his style, his personality on it. And after last year's team, you know, was a sixth seed and got to the tournament, but just had some things missing. He went back and utilized the portal extremely well, also signed one of the top three classes in the country, maybe the best signing class ever for Alabama, and somehow got all of that to blend, as I talked about a few minutes ago, and has made this, from an Alabama perspective, a historically great roster.
And this might be a tough question, given the number one nature of this team that's so good in many areas. Are they a better defensive team than they are offensively? And they're good in both, but which one, if you were to put it on a scale, which one leans a little bit more on the downside?
On their best night, offensively, they are jaw-dropping. But the fact that they only made three threes, understanding what the three-point line means to their team and their offense, they only had three threes in a game recently and still won. And I've forgotten, we played so many games in the last 3 weeks, I've forgotten who it was. It may have been Arkansas. I really don't remember. But there was a game where I think they only had three threes and still scored 80-plus points and did a fantastic job on the defensive end. So they can absolutely lock you in. To me, you're going to have an off night with your offense at some point when you get into a tournament. And it may be in the first round or two. You better be able to lock somebody down. And the fact that they can do that, and with multiple defenders and in multiple ways, I think it's a testament to who they are on the defensive end of the floor.
Has there been one thing that Nate Oates has said that he'd like to shore up going into this tournament? I mean, again, we're probably nitpicking a little bit here, but is there one thing he says, we really like, this is where we can be vulnerable?
There have been times where they've turned it over too much. That was, you know, there haven't been a ton of games, but there have been a few. And when they play a team that will be physical, you look in the fact that they did not handle Oklahoma. It was definitely an outlier. It was an odd time. You step out of league play and play at a place like Oklahoma that needed a win desperately at the time. They didn't build off of it, but they really kicked our teeth in Norman in a big way. That one, the Tennessee game, they didn't manage the physicality in Knoxville very well. They did not manage Texas A&M as well as they would have liked, but it was also the game right after they'd wrapped up the regular season title. And then, of course, they avenged that in the conference tournament in a big way. I just think a physical team can create problems for Alabama, but I do think they're far better equipped to handle it now than they were even as recently as 2 weeks ago.
Chris Stewart, play-by-play voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, the number one overall seed at the tournament as they begin their run coming up on Thursday. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Glad to do it. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Again, Alabama, the number one overall seed, will play Thursday against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. That game in Birmingham. That's Chris Stewart, the play-by-play announcer of the Crimson Tide, who finished this season an amazing 29-5 with one of the best players in college basketball in Brandon Miller. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the NCAA tournament. And also, again, big day in the NFL as we continue with Wake Up Call.